Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And hopefully today you're not going much beyond that. You're going to be able to stay home. Those flakes are pretty big, and of course the forecast says we're going to get a lot of them. Whatever the prediction is, it is what it will be. Well, we've been hearing much news every day, every minute on the news about the new flu vaccine. So, we saw some information about vaccines and vaccinations and what a difference they've made in our lives. You know, we can question how effective they are and how they're being developed and so on. But sometimes taking a look back in history can help us put a different perspective on things, or perhaps a new perspective. So, of course, widespread vaccination has helped eliminate some diseases and certainly helped eliminate or decrease the risks that we face related to health problems. The first one that I want to mention is smallpox. Now, the actual vaccine was created back in 1796, and it basically has made smallpox disappear. It was the only human disease that's been globally eradicated through vaccines. And it's also responsible for the first known vaccine. It was created by English physician Edward Jenner in 1796. After observing that milkmaids who caught cowpox, that was a milder disease, seemed to gain immunity to smallpox, he inoculated an 8-year-old boy using a milkmaid's cowpox lesion. He then exposed the boy to smallpox, and when the boy didn't develop any symptoms of the deadly disease, Jenner realized he'd developed a way to prevent it. Now, the experiment, while highly unethical by today's standards, was a big deal. Smallpox could kill up to 30% of the people who caught it, and had already killed enormous numbers of native people in North and South America as European colonists brought smallpox with them to these new continents when they traveled to North and South America. Shortly after Jenner developed the vaccine, Spain began using it to inoculate people across its empire. The British soon followed, and in the 1850s, Massachusetts became the first U.S. state to mandate smallpox vaccination. By the mid-1900s, right after World War II, countries all around the world decided, why don't we just get rid of smallpox? And so they undertook that effort like nothing ever before. You know, it almost seems impossible, but this global effort led to the eradication of smallpox by 1979. So, are vaccinations important? You bet. Well, here's one that you maybe don't think of when we think of diseases, but certainly killed a number of people and lots of animals, and that's rabies. Do you remember the movie Old Yeller? Well, there have been several movies where rabies was an important factor in the movie. And it's no longer a major threat in the United States because of vaccines. In this case, most of the vaccines that have helped save human lives aren't used on humans. They're used on other animals that can carry the disease and infect humans by biting them. State rabies programs have guidelines for vaccinating pets and wildlife and tracking animals that might have rabies. Any human who is bitten by an animal, regardless of whether the animal has been vaccinated, must go to the doctor or hospital to receive a rabies vaccine. Though rabies is still a threat in some parts of the world, many countries have strong vaccination and tracking programs so that rabies is no longer the threat that it was to human life in the past. Well, the biggie that I remember going through pandemic is polio. And if you have seen pictures from history in the past, you could see those long rows of iron lungs with people in them because they had polio. It was, in the 40s, the most feared childhood disease in the U.S. And you know people, I'm sure every one of you know someone who has been affected by polio in their younger lives. And for some, as we said, the paralysis affected lungs and they could no longer breathe on their own. And so that's when the iron lung came into place, but it still did not save every person. And for those who did not die, of course, there were lots of side effects. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, probably as president, was the most famous person that you may know that had polio and was affected by it. But again, I'm pretty sure that you all know someone who was affected by polio. The number of U.S. polio cases peaked in 1952 when it caused almost 60,000 infections and over 3,000 deaths. During the 1954 trials for Jonas Salk's polio vaccine, parents flocked to sign their children up to get the shot. And as a result, almost 700,000 children received the vaccine that was 80 to 90% effective in preventing polio. So you see, even in that very successful vaccine, 100%, there's no guarantee that you can get 100% effectiveness. Thanks to the continued vaccination of children through today, no polio cases have originated in the United States since 1979. No polio cases originated in the United States since 1979. However, it's not been eradicated. There are still cases that we know of in Afghanistan and Pakistan and perhaps some other countries. But it is an effective vaccine. So here we are during this spread of COVID-19. There's been a lot of discussion about whether the infectious disease was serious. That was really early, like the flu. And, you know, we sort of accept the influenza, or originally in 1917 and those years, we called it the Spanish flu, which is an incorrect name, by the way, because it did not originate in Spain, but was carried there by our U.S. soldiers. The deadliest outbreak ever recorded was in 1918 and 1919, and that flu pandemic killed roughly 675,000 people in the United States and up to 50 million people worldwide. It also may have infected a third of the world's population, or about 500 million people. Since then, there have been several other flu pandemics, but the either was contained because it was identified and prevention modes were set up, or we are now in the current one. But back to the influenza, and of course it still is killing people, between 300,000 and plus each year. Partly, I'm going to say, because people don't get their vaccination, and for some other reasons. That's an argument that some of you would give me. But going back to that announcement about the influenza, it was announced that a new flu pandemic had arrived and would reach the United States by September 1957. So we're going back to the influenza after the major one in 1917, 18, and 19. So, though the person who thought we could develop a vaccine, Hillman, of course, there was some resistance, but he successfully convinced companies to begin working on a flu vaccine to have ready by 1957, and fertilized chicken eggs would be necessary for this production, so he told the companies to remind farmers not to kill their roosters at the end of hatching season. So making a vaccine for the new flu strain is very different from making a vaccine for something completely new like COVID-19. Doctors and scientists that first developed viable flu vaccines in the 1940s. So we know something about making flu vaccines. But when there's a new one comes along, there is so much more to learn. And through processes that have been developed, it can speed along much faster than it did in the past to develop a new vaccine. Well, as I say, lots of discussion about the vaccine. You can probably tell I'm on the positive side and hope that most people will decide that that might be a good idea. Whatever you decide, be sure to take good care of yourself so you'll be around in 2021. And remember, whatever the year, whatever the pandemic, a good life is when you assume nothing, do more, need less, smile often, dream big, laugh a lot, and realize how blessed you are.